Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 and then verse 17. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And down to verse 17, "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." The Easter story is a story of having your expectations shattered. We've all experienced something like this, right? Where you go into a situation or into a scene and you expect it to be one way, and then you show up and it's totally different than what you were expecting. We've all been in a situation like that. My wife is just about to graduate with her degree from Portland State, and she's going to job interviews. And so she bought a new really nice clothes, like business attire, skirt, you know, nice business, I don't even know what they're called, because when, blazer, thank you, yeah. And we don't own many of those. And and she, you know, she got all dressed up and she went into this scene, and she's fully expecting, and everybody's wearing, you know, jeans and t-shirts. It's like Portland, right? Not what she was expecting. We've all had our expectations shattered, and the resurrection story is a story that shatters our expectations in a couple of different ways. First, it shatters our ideas of who God is. It shatters our ideas of who God is, and then second, it shatters our ideas of what God is like. Jesus wants to shatter your expectations today. I believe that with all my heart. So Mary and Mary, they go to the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid to rest, and this was, you know, just a week earlier. Just a week earlier, Jesus had come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey as a king, as the Messiah, the one who is going to save Israel, the one who is going to bring Israel back to prominence. And now their Messiah is in the grave, cold. That had to be confusing, right? I mean, just in a week's time, they come and their Messiah is dead. It's turned from this celebration of Jesus maybe being the one to a really, really sad graveside service for a person who died way too young. At least that's what they were expecting. See, when the women show up at Jesus' grave, their expectations are shattered, right? It's not at all what they were thinking it was going to be. It's a very predictable thing when you go to a cemetery. I mean, cemeteries are sort of built on predictability. Gravesides are built on being sort of a certain way so that you can grieve and mourn and remember. But this scene is anything but that. There's an earthquake. There's this angel. He's dressed and he's bright as lightning, all white, shimmering. The two guards who are guarding the tomb are just panic-stricken, freaked out, utterly unable to speak. I think they were literally like statues, like the angel was sort of like the Wicked Witch or the White Witch from the Narnia, you know? And they're just frozen. Like, I think they're just, it's a scary scene. Not what they were expecting. And that's not what we want when we go to a tomb or to a grave. When you go to a cemetery, you want to see like stately trees and freshly cut grass. You want it to be quiet. Maybe off in the distance, some birds chirping. Maybe if it's spring, maybe way off in the distance, a lawnmower, you know, running or something. But that's it. You see, surprises don't mesh well with grief. They don't go well together, especially scary surprises. But the angel says, don't be scared. Don't be scared. I mean, can you imagine there's two guards standing there at the tomb, and they're frozen like statues. They have swords and helmets. The Marys didn't show up with swords and helmets. They showed up to see their friend and probably to embalm his body. The guys with swords and helmet are petrified. Earthquakes are scary. But the angel explains to the Marys why there's no need for fear. He says, Jesus is alive. Don't be afraid. Jesus is alive. This is not what they were expecting. The angel tells the women, he says, look into the tomb. See for yourselves. Actually, I've rolled the rock away so you can look into the tomb. That's why I'm here. I came here to move the rock so you ladies could actually look and see the evidence that Jesus isn't there. I want you to see that. I want you to know that. I want you to experience that. The rock was rolled away for the Marys and for all of us so that we could experience an empty tomb, so that we could experience a living Savior, not a dead one. Some of you came to church today and you have expectations. You want this gathering to go a particular way, like a particular predictable way. Hopefully it won't go too long because you want to get to brunch. Hopefully you'll like the songs or something will happen today that is something you would expect. And along that, with that, you've probably brought expectations of what God is like, maybe of who he is. Maybe God for you is just a feeling. Maybe God is a part of your brain that you can communicate with when you're having a bad day. Maybe he's an idea, but he's not a person. And if he is a person, you don't expect that he'd be interested in you or in what's happening in your life. Jesus shatters these expectations. See, the empty tomb shows us who God is. Jesus is God, the risen Son of God, an actual person, not an idea in your head, not a spirit off in outer space who's kind of floating around. He's tangible. He's tangible. If Jesus had stayed dead, he would be a lot of things. He would be a brilliant teacher. He would be a martyr, a revolutionary, but he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be God. The empty tomb is the ultimate verification. It's the ultimate verification that Jesus passes the God test. But the resurrection doesn't just tell us that Jesus is God. It tells us what he's like. And this is where our expectations get totally wrecked. I mean, they get completely ruined and destroyed, whatever expectations you brought in. After God rises from the dead, he actually goes and pursues relationship with his people. He actually goes out and looks for his disciples. Jesus is alive, and he's out and about, and he's going to the places where he knows he will find his friends. He's going to them. He's not asking them to come to him. He's actually going out to where they are. That's what he does in this story. After the women look into the empty tomb, the angel tells them to go tell the other disciples that Jesus is alive and that he's going to meet them in Galilee. Go tell them to go to Galilee. That's where I'm gonna meet them there. That's where they live. That's where they're from. I'm gonna go to their turf and I'm gonna be with them. This is pretty astounding on a couple of levels. First of all, it's astounding to think that God would go to Galilee, right? Galilee is not an important place. If you just rose from the dead, and if anybody here could pull that off, you wouldn't go to Galilee, right? You would go to you'd go to New York City. You'd go to LA. That's where you'd go. You wouldn't go to Galilee. Going to Galilee would be like, you know, going to Estacada or something, you know? Check it out, I'm alive, I rose from the dead, and I'm going to Estacada. No offense if you're from Estacada. But I always pick on Estacada, but that it's a great little town, I think. Jesus goes to Galilee. It's not an important place, but it's a place, this is astounding, because it's a place where his friends are. It's a place where his disciples are from. He's going to them. That's the first reason it's astounding. The second reason this is so mind-blowing is that the first people to share the news about Jesus' resurrection are women. Not men, but women. And in this culture, the testimony of a woman in this time was considered less reliable than a testimony of a man. In our culture, we go, that's crazy, that's silly, that's ridiculous. But in this culture, a man's testimony was considered more valuable than a woman's. And so what Jesus does is he turns the script around, he flips it upside down. He actually entrusts the message of the resurrection to two of his closest friends, Mary and Mary, women. He gives them the job of going out and being the first ones to spread the news. This really authenticates, I think, the story of the resurrection. If you were going to make up a story, you wouldn't have Jesus going to Galilee. You wouldn't have Jesus entrusting the news of the resurrection to women. And yet that's what we see happening here. It authenticates, it validates the historicity, if you will, of the resurrection. It verifies it. It adds a ton of credibility. And so the women head out and they leave to spread the news, and they're still freaked out. They're still, I mean, you would be, I would be. It'd be kind of that mix of scared and you're shaking, maybe kind of the feeling of you know, getting off of a roller coaster and you've just been exhilarated, you're scared, you're shaking, but you also are kind of excited. That's sort of where they're at, and they're heading out full of joy, fear and joy. Faith is growing in their hearts. Even though they haven't actually seen Jesus, they've got faith that he's alive. And it's interesting to note this because faith is actually born before they even see Jesus. They see an empty tomb, but there could be a lot of explanations for an empty tomb, right? But faith is born in their hearts before they see Jesus. And physically speaking, we're in the same boat as the Marys. We haven't seen Jesus yet. We haven't, you know, he's not standing here physically in a body where we can see him and talk to him as we would talk to another person. And yet this faith is growing in them. There's this hope. That's what happens. That's how faith is born. There's hope. Hebrews 11 says that faith is being confident of what we hope for and assured of what we can't see. The empty tomb is what sparks faith for the Marys. So they head out to tell the other disciples about this. They're full of fear and joy. And then on their way, they run into Jesus. And it's probably a little bit more accurate to say Jesus runs into them, because they're on their way. And it, as you read the story, you kind of see that it's sort of like Jesus just appears. Whew. Oh. And he's so nonchalant about it, you know. He just says, greetings. Yeah, you know, that's crazy. He just rose from the dead, and you're like, "Hi, guys." And there he is. See, none of this is a surprise to Jesus. The very worst thing had happened just a few days prior. Jesus had died, and now the best thing is happening. Jesus has conquered death, and yet none of it throws Jesus off. None of it was outside of his plan. None of it caught him by surprise. It's all part of his plan: death, resurrection, and relationship. See, the resurrection shows us that Jesus is God, but his appearance to the women shows us what God is like. God wants to be known. He's not just looking for faith. He's not just looking for belief, intellectual assent that he's real or that he exists or that he died to save you from your sin. Yes, that's part of it. But beyond belief, he wants to know you. He He wants you to be known by him. He wants to relate to you and with you. So he goes after you. Jesus comes to the women right where they are, and in just a couple of verses later, he shows up to the other disciples where they are in Galilee. But what I love about what he says to Mary and Mary is in verse 10, he says, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." He refers to them as brothers. He doesn't refer to them as disciples. He doesn't refer to them as he could have as failures, as people who abandoned him, turncoats, as people who had, on the night that he was betrayed, which is three nights earlier, who abandoned him. He refers to them as brothers. See, God is after relationship. This is who Jesus is. He's God. He's an actual person who's stronger than death. And in his resurrection, he actually goes after the ones that he loves, the very people who failed him. A lot of times we think we have to get to God. We think, I've got to do something to get to God. And some of you maybe came to church today because that's what drove you here. You're like, I gotta get to him. And what's crazy about this is that God gets to you. He comes to you where you are, as you are, so that you can know him. So that he can call you brother or sister and make you part of his family. If you're expecting God to be many things, and if we went around the room today, we could ask, you know, who do you think God is? What do you think God is like? And we could have our lists. But if love is not on the list, looking to Jesus will absolutely change your expectations. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know his love. You can say yes to Jesus right now. You can say yes to him, to that relationship, the same way that the Marys did. The Marys said yes to Jesus that day. They believed in him. They went out in faith before seeing him. And then when they do see him, what do? They fall at his feet in worship. And you can do the same. You can put your trust in Christ. You can say yes to Jesus. Yes, you're my Savior. Yes, you are the King of Kings. You're more powerful than the grave. And you can fall at his feet and surrender. You can hand him the keys to your life because he wants to know you on that level. He wants to make you his sister or his brother. See, when you make Jesus your king, he makes you family. That's how that works. That's how that works. Jesus in verse 17 gets to Galilee and he makes a personal appearance to the brothers. They see him, and I think a lot of us, if we were in their shoes, we think, well, if you see him, if you actually get to see him, then faith would be easy, right? Like if you could see Jesus standing here and he's clearly, you know, a person with a body and holes in his wrists and in his feet from where he'd been pinned to a cross. We think, oh yeah, that'd make it easy. But it says in verse 17 that they saw him, but some doubted. See, if you're waiting for all your doubts to go away to trust Jesus, you're going to be waiting a long time because even if you could see him standing here, there would still be that bit of doubt. And I think that the doubts that the disciples probably had actually are probably not unlike some of your doubts today. Some of you are skeptical. You're just skeptical. Jesus had a disciple named Thomas. He was totally skeptical. He was like, I need evidence. I need to see him. I need to be able to see the holes in his wrists. I need to be able to put my finger in the hole to know that he's real. Others of his disciples were doubting, but for different reasons. They doubted because of their own shame. They doubted because they thought, man, this guy just rose from the dead, and we all abandoned him. We didn't want to be guilty by association, so we all ran. We all just bailed on him. And now Jesus is coming to Galilee to see us. I don't think that's going to go well. This sense of shame Peter denies Jesus three times the night he's betrayed. Jesus predicted it would happen. And here's Jesus going after Peter, his brother. I don't know what your doubts are. I don't know if it's skepticism because you can't see a risen Jesus standing here. I don't know if it's your own shame. But what you need to understand is this. These guys were convinced. These guys became convinced that Jesus was Lord and that Jesus wanted relationship with them. Their expectations are shattered, and they became so convinced of it that they actually went on to die for him. They became so convinced of the reality of Jesus that they actually gave their lives for the cause of Christ. That's the degree to which they experience conviction. Even where there's doubt, we keep telling this story. Why? Because Jesus actually meets us in our doubts. He meets us where we are. That's why the women at the tomb told the story, and that's why we're doing what we're doing today.